You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the Fulham preview show, and it is Mick, as always. And today I'm joined by Dave from Dave's LFC Chat. Dave, how are you doing, lad?
I'm brilliant. It's officially Christmas now, so I can say Happy Christmas to everybody. I always wait till December, although some of my mates will have their Christmas trees up in just at the day after bloody Halloween. But you know what I mean? It is Christmas. It's going to be a red Christmas for the Super Reds, because we're playing well at the moment. We're doing well. And any time I can talk to you, and the Reds, talk about the Reds, is absolutely beautiful. And let's go. All good, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, well, we'll talk about, because we haven't done a last reaction show yet. And obviously we've got Fulham tomorrow at home. But 4-0 over Lask. What were your thoughts on that? Because I thought, like, team news-wise, that was the first time I've predicted the 11 for what feels like months, because you can't really predict what Klopp's going to do. But I think because the 2-2 game went the way it went, I think we all kind of expected Klopp to go a little bit stronger in this one, and he went very, very strong. Goals for Diaz, two for Gakpo, and of course Mo Salah gets a goal and an assist in the game. Just one off 200 now. He's on 199 goals for the Reds. But yeah, a nice, comfortable win. I mean, it was a bit of a mad game, like a bit of a basketball game for two in and throw.
It was a Salvador Dali. It was surreal. I thought it was surreal. I thought it was an unusual game. I mean, it could have been 15-6. You know what I mean? We had so many chances. Okay, we scored four. We could have double digits. They could have had a few goals, to be fair. They played some neat and tidy football, Mick. You know, for what, an Austrian team. I think they beat Salzburg recently. They did a very good win in the league. So they're no mugs. You know what I mean? They're more like this type of cup, 70 style. But I mean, like, you know, look, we did okay. I was more impressed by two or three young, your man Kwanzaa. I mean, we've been talking, we'll probably do a whole podcast on young Jarrell Kwanzaa. What a player this guy is. I mean, this is going to be unreal. Hakpo with the two goals. I think he looked really good. He gives us something different. Gravenberch, I mean, wow. The ceiling for these two guys, the ceiling for a lot of the youngsters. Elliot had a good game as well. Kelleher and goal, of course, we could talk about. Caoimhe Kelleher, of course, coming back clean sheet, looked really neat and tidy. I think there was a lot of pluses ticked in the boxes for Klopp, and he would have been happy. He wouldn't have been happy about some of the defender, but it was a lot of gung-ho, wasn't it? It was like the old 17-18 season. We were going forward looking for goals. You could understand it. Salah was on 198 going into it, looking to probably get his 200 goal that night. He got one of them, but you know. But overall, I mean, you'd have to be happy. And the big plus as well, a lot of people didn't realise, was if you finish top of that group, you're not seen till March, and you miss out on having to play a team from the Champions League in the last 32 in a double playoff, which is messy. It's two games you don't need to play. That's why I was hoping we'd get it done and dusted at Anfield. And the next game, okay, dead rubber, but we play young lads, you know, in against GS or whatever. What is their mad crazy name, Giroud or Saint Giroud? He'll play a crazy team against them, and young lads will get game. Maybe Bradley, who signed a new contract recently, an extension. Yep. Connor Bradley and Chambers and all these guys will get minutes. But overall, big box ticked for me.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you look at it, and like you said, the performances that were put in, I think Kwanzaa was. Well, we might as well talk about him because
wow.
When you look at it, it is crazy because it was only his 10th game for us. I don't know how many starts that is. It's probably fifth or sixth start.
Ridiculous.
It's mad. And I think there's a little clip going around where obviously the Van Dijk defending where he's up against Sissoko and Sissoko blazes it over the bar and he's defending two players. And there's a moment in that game where Kwanzaa does the same and he makes a great sliding tackle and then Kelleher grabs the ball. But I mean, it wasn't just that. It's his all-round game,
it's
I
position.
Think.
It's his positional for a young lad. Pace, just turned 20, didn't he, recently? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like he's intelligent, obviously, but I mean, like, he's got a big frame as well, Mick, for a centre-half. He's pacey. He's intelligent. He's calm in possession. A bit like an Alan Hansen type. You can talk about Van Dijk 2.0. I'm not mad about putting that type of pressure on a young lad like that. No, you know what I mean? I think it's a silly sort of thing to do, but he's got that about him. He's got everything for him. And obviously, head and shoulders, peer group around him, and it just has to keep it going, keep rocking and rolling. He only signed a new contract extension in the summer, I think. But this guy's ceiling is ridiculous. This guy's ceiling is going into the attic.
It is. I think it's similar to like what when you're looking at Liverpool to start the season, you don't really know what to expect. But then Liverpool don't sign a six. I guess that might come back to haunt us potentially when you get towards the latter stages of the season. Potentially, it looked like we needed the centre half as well. I think that's the most important thing. We look like we were a bit short there, and then you've got Klopp's always leaving the pathway open for these young kids. And I think Klopp said he left the door open for him, but he didn't expect for him to burst through it. Just that. In the fashion that he has, and these performances he's putting in is just, it's like you said, I agree. It's too easy to put loads of praise and whatever on him, but you want to have a step back and go, this is still a kid who he's got a lot of work to do and stuff. But what he's producing so far in the 10 games he's played is just absolutely phenomenal. And I think going into, like you said, the USG games and other cup games coming up, potentially you can get more performances in there. So it's all good stuff for him. So let's talk about tomorrow then, Sunday. I keep forgetting it's Saturday today. And yeah, back at Anfield. Yeah, like we were discussing before we started recording, Liverpool doing really well in the league. I think, like I said just before, like you didn't really know what to expect this season with Liverpool, with the players leaving, Firmino and Milner and players like that, and then Henderson and Fabinho getting off by their own accord, and Liverpool having to just go on the map and have some keyhole surgery and basically restructuring the whole midfield. And it's been boss, hasn't it, Dave? Because I haven't spoken about this season yet. So what are your thoughts so far, like 13 games in, 2 points off the pace?
Well, to be honest, I'm a little bit surprised. I think we're a little bit ahead of ourselves than I thought we would have been, Mick, this coming up around Christmas, you know. I didn't think we'd be probably so far advanced as in the midfield gelling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because it was a big rebuild in the summer and it was an important rebuild. And I thought maybe this would be a transitional year, you know, big transitional year. Top four would be the dream to get back into that top four, one or two good cup runs and stuff like that, you know. But we're looking good. Now, it is early still. I know it's not even Christmas at this stage, but you have to say in the games that have gone, we've looked really good. Home form's been absolutely brilliant, which, to be fair, has been really brilliant since Klopp came in, other than maybe that season when we'd nobody in the ground during COVID and stuff, which you can probably write off. But the home form was never an issue for me, really. It's the away form. It's a bit sticky still, a little bit sticky. If we could just manoeuvre it 10%, 15% this way, that way. We're unlucky against Spurs. I mean, that was, you know, yeah. There'll be a movie made about that one. That was, you know, unlucky. The Luton game, I don't think we turned up. More praise to Luton than anything. We did well to come away with that with a draw. I thought we were losing that game. You know, certain games could have went either way and stuff like that. But you can't nitpick. It evens itself over 38 games. And where we are right now, I'm really impressed. I think there's obviously the gelling has worked really well. I know McAllister's been told to play opposition, so we can't really judge. He's not a six. He's not. He's an eight, really. He can play 10. He's that type of thing.
I don't think Endo's a six either.
We do need a six. We do need a six. What?
I don't think Endo's a six either, just from what we've seen so far.
I think Endo played well the other night, actually. He played well. I think he had a decent game the other night, you know. No, but I still think we need a six. Maybe Santa Claus will have one under the tree in a late Christmas gift in January. Who knows? You know, who knows? Remember the famous Van Dijk under the Christmas tree with the jersey? Oh, yeah. Do you remember that? Who could forget that Christmas present?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But I mean, look, now I think we're ahead of ourselves, a few percentage points ahead of ourselves in a really good position. Just got to keep it going. But a few injuries starting to build up a little bit. I think Alisson Becker, obviously, Callagher coming in for him. I know it's not a long-term thing with Ali. Hopefully only 2-3 weeks, maybe even back for United, touch wood. But the likes of a Jota. Jota's injury looks a bit more serious. I think you're looking at January there.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've looked at Jota, remember when he came into us and he was banging in the goals, left, right and centre. He got that injury, remember? And it took him a while to get back to that level of getting banging in. And then he came back there this season and was banging them in again and got that injury again. So there's a niggle with Jota. Thiago's Thiago. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. It's a long term. Piacetic, young Stefan Piacetic is a loss. I mean, people keep saying it, but that's a big loss. And of course, Robbo's a huge loss. So we have a few injuries. I'm just hoping we don't get any more injuries. But the squad is looking really good. It's looking tight. It's full of quality. Even the bench the other night, you knew if there was any problems. That's the difference, I think, this season, Mick. We've got a bench. We've got a proper bench. We've got the Calvary on the bench if we're in trouble. You know, that's huge. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think just what I was saying on Endo there, like I think, like you said, McAllister's not a six, so it's still performing well. I think Endo, from what I've seen, he loves a tackle and whatever, but it seems to be his passing and his progressive passing that has been impressing me most in terms of it, not as defending as such, which is a bit mad. But I think there is a space there if Liverpool don't go on the market, if Bacetic does come back, and we're clearly giving Bacetic more time because his body's still growing and whatever. But what we've seen last season from him in a poor Liverpool side, he looked very good. So if he can get his body right in maybe the next 6 weeks, 2 months or whatever, and come back into the side. And I mean, in this side where you've got Szoboszlai, you've got Curtis Jones, you've got Gravenberch, you've got all them players making, like doing the dirty work around you and helping you out. I think last season when he was in there, he was on his bill, trying to make tackles, covering the whole centre of the field. So it's going to be nice to see Stefan Bajetic back in whenever he comes back in. But you mentioned like the home form, and when you look at like the home table, I mean, just a bit of a mad one, but when you look at it, us and Villa are top after six home games, we're both on 18 points. Newcastle played 7, there on 18 points. So the home form's not the issue, but it is the away form, like we said, like 10 points from 7 games. I think that's something that needs to be changed. But luckily for us, Fulham is our home, and then you're looking ahead, you've got Sheffield United away, you've got Palace away, you've got USG away, and then you're getting into the United, West Ham and Arsenal 6-day marathon just before Christmas, all at home. That's going to be an exciting run-up towards Christmas. But what are you thinking for team news for this one then? Because like you said, some of the injuries we already know, like Alisson and Jota are out. Gakpo played well against Lask and played the majority of the game. Does that say Nunes is going to start? I don't know. But what are you thinking for this one?
I think Nunes is nailed on for tomorrow. I think he's nailed on. I think Nunes has to start. I mean, he did well when he came on. He could have had a hat-trick. Chaotic captain chaos when he came on. You know what I mean? He needs to start games, Mick. You know what I mean? I know people. I heard Klopp in his interview yesterday when you listened to his press conference, but he was saying, like, you know, we know Klopp doesn't talk about an 11. He talks about the squad. He talks about the group. You know, he talks about his boys. He doesn't really talk about an 11. But in his mind, he's probably thinking about an 11. He has to be thinking about an 11 to start an 11. But the way he's saying is, but they're all there. You know, we can bring 5 subs on. We can do this, we can do that. But I think Darwin starts tomorrow. Obviously, Keller is in goal because Alisson's out injured. I think Van Dijk comes back in. The question is, though, Matip, Konate, Kwanzaa, there's a bit of a... I think Matip's been doing well recently, to be fair, hasn't he? I think Matip's been doing really well. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Matip, Van Dijk, Trent and Tsimikas, who's been doing well. He's been doing really well, actually. Yeah. So that'd be my back four with the keeper.
Yeah. I think when you just look at the City game, so the City game we had Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Jones, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunes, Jota. I think the only change from that is the enforced change, and I think it's Diaz in for Jota. I think maybe he goes Gravenberch because we're at home, because a bit more, ball carrying skills and maybe link up around the box and stuff. And then I think Joel Matip deserves to start. I think just on merit alone, I've been surprised, especially that City game. I thought Konate was nailed on, but Joel Matip's back to his going on an adventure best and performing well. So I think that would be the only change for me, Diaz in for the injured Jota, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll go McAllister, Szoboszlai, obviously with Jones. I think he likes Jones, doesn't he? He likes that bit of nitty-gritty in midfield as well. Jones will be back in. And of course, up front, Mo Salah. We can talk about Mo now in a minute, I suppose, on 199. Will he get 200 against Fulham? I think he will. I think he will get 200. Possibly even 201. Who knows? But he definitely break the 200 mark. And Nunes, I think, starts. I think he has to start. And then, of course, Diaz. Lovely header. A Mane-esque header during the night, of course. That'd be my team.
Yeah. I think, and we might as well talk about Salah then, because 199 goals is just... It's mad. It really is. It's mad. But yeah, I think... The amount of people I've seen on Twitter putting Mo Salah to score and to get a yellow card because he's going to take his shirt off because he knows. I think I've always thought in the past, does Mo keep like a track of his record? Everybody clearly does.
He does. So I mean, he has. Yeah, I remember it was two seasons ago. They were playing in some camp in France or something, and he won the bloody. I think it was table tennis tournament. He's there with a little table tennis trophy as if it was the bloody Golden Boot. You know what I mean? He wants to win everything. He wants to win. He even wants to win a cracker pull at Christmas. Do you know what I mean? He'd be sitting at the table pulling crackers. He wants to be the one with the prize. That's the type Mo Salah is. You know, he's a winner, and that's why he's so good. And I mean, when you think of it, Mick, I mean, I've seen, like, I'm an old elder statesman, but I've seen, you know, great players. Kenny Dalglish, Ian Rush's record as a goal scorer is absolutely... was 387 or it's just mind blowing. But remember, he was an out and out striker. Mo Salah's a winger, really. You know what I mean? He's not an out and out striker. He's really a winger. And he'll be talked about forever, you know, and you'll only realise how good he was when you have to fill that void. And it's not, no matter what you say, you can talk about Mbappe's and all this. That doesn't mean it's gonna work. That's a hard void to He's never injured. He's never injured.
I think he's been injured like maybe is it twice or three times. I think one of them was COVID. I think
Do you remember the ad for Christmas time? Do you remember the ad for the Ever Ready battery where he put the battery in the little teddy bear and he ran around forever? Salah should do an Ever Ready ad. An Ever Ready ad. Because he just runs. He's full of energy. He's never, you know, everlasting. Everybody else, the batteries on him are working for, you know, just unbelievable. And he's up there. He's up there. Has to be up there. Liverpool legend.
Yeah, definitely. I think just when you look at like the goal scored in like 199, he's in fifth place in the all-time Liverpool chart for goals. Billy Little is fourth on 228. So, I mean, he might break that this year if he fancies it, but it then comes down to what's going to happen, of course, next summer. That's kind of died down a little bit, of course, after the mad summer that it was. But yeah, just ridiculous stats, really. The more you look at it, the more you're just thinking, How is it real that he can perform to that level for so long? Like, to 324 Liverpool games, 199 goals and 80 assists. It's mind-boggling. It really is. But yeah, you wouldn't put it past them to get one and then get a second one maybe in the second half just to breeze into the 200s with ease. Hopefully he does that tomorrow against Fulham.
His home record is ridiculous, isn't it? His assist and goal scoring record at home in Anfield. I think he's on some bloody run, isn't he? He's on some crazy run.
Yeah.
For assists, continuous assists and goals. He's on an unbelievable run, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's that many stats that Salah's got, like continuous ones and ones that he sometimes breaks, sometimes doesn't. You just lose track. But I think, even this season, like the amount of like goal contributions and stuff is just, again, ridiculous. But Dave, we come to score prediction. What are you thinking?
Tomorrow? I'm going to keep it nice and easy, 2-0. 2-0 to Liverpool, Mo Salah to break the record, and Darwin chaotic Nunes to make it 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3, I think. Fancy Mo to, even if it's a pen, I'll take it.
I don't care what it is.
Takes his shirt off, does a little pirouette with it, whatever he fancies. Just get
the United. Remember he scored against United, the second goal when he ran through the Alisson kick and took the top off with the six pack or 12 pack, whatever that is.
But yeah, let's hope he can do it. Let's hope the Reds can do it as well tomorrow to keep this a good season going so far. I don't want to like say an amazing season and whatever just because we're so early and whatever. And you've got Arsenal up there, you've got City up there, of course. So Liverpool just need to quietly go about the business and try and stay under the radar as much as we can without causing too much fuss. And when we get to the crunch time, I know Liverpool have got the players and it's a season of showing character and mentality. this season, and hopefully, because we've got the quality, we know that, but we need
to... You know, another thing, Mick, before we go, and this could be good news for Liverpool, of course, there's an excitement back with Klopp. I don't know whether you've noticed his interviews and the bit of laughing and the joking, definitely. And there's a like a freshness with Klopp in the last few months with this team. Obviously, the players and the way they've gelled and the way they're winning games. Obviously, if you're winning, it's great, obviously. But there's even in some of the comments he's making, even yesterday, the boys are back and this type of thing. I wouldn't be surprised that he's so happy with what he's seen. If you add another one or two, maybe January next summer, that he might even extend. And then there's a possibility that Salah might extend with him. Now, that'd be a double whammy.
That would be, I mean, that's like, that's what dreams are made of. That's the best Christmas present you ever get.
Carlsberg dream, isn't it? That's yeah. Carlsberg, yeah. Double whammy Carlsberg.
I think it's a difficult one, because I think Klopp's like, we all know he's quite a loyal guy, and he, so I think he would have been worried about like not giving Hendo minutes and like Fabinho's decline and whatever, and they've made the decision for him. He's brought in fellows who are doing amazing stuff and running their ass off every game and showing quality, and we're up there start of the season, so he couldn't have been asked for a better start of the season from us. So I'm sure he's absolutely buzzing with it all.
Yeah.
But Dave, we shall leave it there, nice and easy and nice and quick one on a freezing Saturday morning ahead of tomorrow's game. But nice one for jumping on, lad. Appreciate it.
No, listen, I should do more. I've a few personal things to sort out. If anybody knows, I usually used to go live a lot, but I will go live an awful lot more, of course. But happy Christmas to all the Cop Boys lads who watch and lassies who watch the show. Have a great Christmas. I'm dreaming of a red Christmas, just like the ones that Anfield knows. Let's hope it's a red Christmas, Mick. Thank you very much. Stay safe. Talk soon.
No worries. Yeah, nice one, Dave, for jumping on. Nice one, everyone, for listening. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon in a bit.
Cheers.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Podcast Network.